Fiat. October 10th, 1938. The creation, first field of action of God. Field of action in one who lives in his will. How God cannot deny anything to one who lives in it. I'm always in the sea of the supreme fiat. And its love is such that, unable to contain it within itself, it wants to show to its creature the new surprises of its love, how much it has loved her and does love her. And if it finds a creature who loves it, it will make new love arise to let her touch with her own hand how its love will never stop, but will love her always with new and increasing love. And my always lovable Jesus, repeating his short little visit, all goodness, told me, "My little daughter of my divine will, you must know that our first field of action was the creation. Creation was a birth which ab eterno we kept inside our divine womb. And in each thing which we were to deliver to daylight, we loved man. Because for him alone, because we loved him so much, we had decreed to create so many things, and to form him for him the light of day, the blue vault that would never fade away, a flowery earth that was to serve him as pavement. And then the greatest thing, the centralization of our love in each created thing, which was to serve him as our lap, to carry him in our arms, to make him happy and give him continuous life. And do you know the reason for all these preparations, to the point of making us go out of ourselves as in a field of action, as though getting to work for love of he who was to let our will reign. In the face of so much work of ours, we wanted our reward, our divine scope, that man and all created things would possess our will as life, as regiment, and as nourishment. This, our field of action, is still lasting. Our love runs at an incredible speed because we are not subject to change. We are the immutable. And whatever we do once, we do always. More so, since in spite of our so extensive field of action, in spite of so much work of ours, so much love palpitating in each created thing and in each fiber of man, our scope, that is, our will reigning and dominating in the heart of man, is not fulfilled. Could we ever form so extensive a field and still persevere in the work without obtaining the purpose? This will never be. The mere fact that creation is still lasting is the sure sign that the kingdom of my will have its life and its full triumph in the midst of creatures. We do not know how to do useless things. Rather, first we assess with highest wisdom the good, the utility, and the glory that we must receive. And then we act. Now, I want to tell you another surprise. As the creature enters into our will to let it reign, we enter again the field of action. We renew our work. And for her alone do we centralize our new love in each created thing. And in our emphasis of love, we say to her, "See how much we love you. Just for you do we carry out our field of action. For you alone do we repeat all our works." Prick up your ears, and you will hear in each thing are new notes of love that will tell you how much we love you, how you are covered and hidden inside our love. Oh, the contentments and joys you give us. For we can repeat our field of action in the one who lives in our will and wants to know nothing but our will. Now, since the whole creation and we ourselves find our will in this creature, we all recognize her as our daughter. The entire creation remains centralized in her, and she in us. She becomes inseparable from all created things, because our will gives her the right over everything. And our field of action finds its reward, the requital of its work, that a creature living in our will works together with us, wants to do what we do, and wants to love us with equal love. In fact, since one is the will that animates us, there can be no dissimilarity or disparity. Therefore, we no longer feel isolated in the field of creation. We have our company, and this is all our triumph, our victory, and the greatest good we can give to the creatures. Even more so, since while creation surrounds her on the outside, we carry out our field of action in the interior of her soul, creating in her the brightest suns, the most beautiful stars, winds that blow constant love, seas of graces and beauty, balsamic and divine air. And she receives it all and leaves us free in our field of action. True creation of ours, which in nothing did oppose what we wanted to do. All our works found their place in which to be put. The same with the soul who lives in our will. We can place in her all our most beautiful works, and our will prepares for us the space in which to put them. So, our field of action never ends in one who lives in our fiat. Therefore, be attentive to receive what we want to make of you. After this, he added with a love that I cannot express, "My daughter, the interest that we cherish the most, our most assiduous attention, is on the soul who lives in our will. We are all eyes over her. It seems that we neither know how, nor can we do anything if we don't extend our operating and creative virtue over her. Our love leads us to watch her, to see what she wants to do. If she wants to love, our creative virtue creates our love in the depth of her soul. If she wants to know us, we create the knowledge of us. If she wants to be holy, our creative virtue creates sanctity. In sum, whatever she wants to do, our creative virtue is there to create the good that she wants, in such a way that she feels within herself the nature and the life of the good she wants. We neither can nor do we want to deny anything to one who lives in our will. It would be as though denying it to our own will, that is, denying it to ourselves. It would be too hard not to make use of our creative virtue for ourselves. See then, at what high, noble, and sublime point is found one who lives in our will. Therefore, be attentive. Do not bother about anything other than living in it. In this way, you will feel our creative and operating virtue.